Psalm 16. Listen carefully to God's word. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. And to the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. You, O Lord, are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Two elderly women who were very good friends on earth died and went to heaven. And they got to heaven and started talking and just having a real good time, enjoying themselves and celebrating. And they were just ecstatic in heaven. And then one of the friends turned to the other one and she said, you know, Mildred, if we hadn't eaten so much bran cereal, we would have been here 10 years earlier. Psalm 16 is a psalm that reminds us that heaven has pleasures forevermore. That heaven is a joyful place, and that our true and our highest pleasure will be in the eternal kingdom of God. Psalm 16 is what is called a messianic psalm. It, along with Psalm 22 and Psalm 45 and others, remind us by way of prophecy of the work of the Messiah. For example, Psalm 22 is a psalm that focuses on what is going through the mind of Christ while he is hanging upon the cross. And Psalm 16, the psalm we are considering this morning, is also a psalm that prophesies something about the Messiah, about the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, look in verses 9 and 10. It says, my flesh also will rest in hope. That is Jesus. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. In the first sermon that was ever preached in the Christian church, the Apostle Peter in Acts 2 quoted Psalm 16 as he applied these particular verses to the Lord Jesus Christ in prophecy of the fact that Jesus' soul, Jesus' body, would not see corruption, nor would his soul remain under the power of Satan, but he would be liberated body in space and time in a resurrection physically, and his spirit and body together would be reunited forever. Indeed, there are pleasures forevermore. And for our communion meditation this morning, I want us to consider three brief insights or steps on how you and I can have pleasures forevermore by following the steps that the psalmist recommends. And the first step is this in verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. How appropriate was the anthem this morning for our message today? Trust in God, I will trust in God. That is the first step to have pleasure forevermore. Trust in God. That's what the psalmist did, and it is good also for us. But in order to trust in God, we must first recognize what the psalmist recognized in verse 2. He said, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. And then listen to this. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Indeed, Jeremiah 17 says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All of our goodness, not our sins, not our failures, not our evil, not our wickedness, not our bad thoughts, but even our attempted goodness is as a filthy rag in the sight of God. That goes along with what the old poem said, your highest ambitions must wholly be waived, your greatest joys be crossed. You need not think that you will ever be saved till first you have learned you are lost. Indeed, the psalmist said in his first step to enjoy pleasures forevermore, I put my trust in God. I put my trust in the one who died for me. But my first step is to realize that there is nothing in me, that there is no amount of goodness in my attempted, pretended righteousness that will recommend me to the God who is there. But we must rather confess even our goodness is as filthy rags in your sight. And that is what this table reminds us of, in fact. For why else would God himself come in the form of human flesh and live a perfect life and die a substitutionary death if there were any other way for us to be saved? God required perfection, and God required punishment of sin. This is the solution. This is the only solution. I said there were three steps, and the first one was to put your trust in God if you would have pleasures forevermore. And the second one is suggested by verse 4. And the second one is this, avoid a godless life. Avoid a godless life. The psalmist says, their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another god, that is, who serve other gods. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my list. What he is saying is whatever is characteristic of wickedness and evil and godlessness, I will leave it alone and I will back away from it. You see, in order to live a Christian life, we must take two steps, not just one. It isn't enough to receive Jesus as our Savior and say, I have eternal life now. We must not only receive Christ as our Lord and Savior and acknowledge Him as the Lord of our lives, but we must also forsake a godless life. So that it involves, living for Christ involves two things. On the one hand, it involves putting off the old man, but then putting on Christ. Ephesians 4, Colossians 2. Living for Christ, two steps. Put off the old and put on the new. Avoid a godless life. That is what the psalmist says to us. Now, that is easier said than done. Why? Because the godless in this world are the ones who seem to prosper, don't they? Job thought so. Why do the wicked prosper? The psalmist said so as well, and yet the psalmist also said in another place, do not be envious of the wicked. Why? Because these trinkets that fill the lives of so many people, these trinkets, that's all they get. For in eternity, that's all they get. And there are no pleasures forevermore for those people. But for you and you who put your trust in God, there are pleasures forevermore. And then the psalmist recommends as a third step in verse 11. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. Show me the path of life. You see, there are only two possible paths that a person may follow in his life. There are many choices that you may make in your life. There are many alternatives that you may choose in your life, but there are only two paths that you may follow. Psalm 1 talks about the path, and Proverbs 4:18 talks about the paths. Proverbs 4:18 says that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. That is one path. But then the other path, Psalm 1 talks about, where the psalmist says that the Lord knows the way of the wicked, and the way of the unrighteous will not prosper. But the way of the righteous will prosper. How in this life? Not necessarily, and probably not. But the path of life is here, friends. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And that is what we celebrate at this table. And it reminds us that we would not be distracted by the attractions and the trinkets of this life. Because they're just here and they're gone. But those pleasures will never fade that you have in the kingdom. I said there are only two paths, and let me ask you this. Which path are you following? Jesus put it this way. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there are who find it. Well, as we come to this table this morning, I trust that you have set out on the narrow path, and maybe you, like Christian in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, have wandered off of this rabbit trail and that gate, and you have from time to time been astray, and yet this is God's call to you. And God's reminder to you, difficult is the way, narrow is the path, but at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Do you know what I mean? Think about it. Let's pray.